abducted by pirates who've instructed.
Hands behind your back, walk the plank, matey.
The captain is smirking, cause hungry sharks are lurking, starving for a snack.
Won't you save us, Ralphie? We don't wanna be their fish food.
I know I can.
You can save them, Ralphie. Soon those hammerheads will munch and crunch them.
I'll stop your evil plan.
If you're one of the people who've loved the classic movie based on Gene Shepherd's A Christmas Story, I bring you good tidings this holiday season. Ralphie, Randy, and the longed-for BB Gun are now on Broadway, further enhanced by exuberant musical numbers. And after you've seen a chorus line of net stocking-clad leg lamps, even the Rockettes might begin to seem a bit ho-hum. The show is playing at the Lunt-Fontanne Theater, and I'm very pleased that it brings Dan Loria, who plays Gene Shepherd, and Irwin Zwilling, Mr. Shepherd's best friend in real life and the holder of the rights to his works, to our show today. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Well, this has to be fun every night. Is everyone having as good time on the stage as the audience appears to be?
Oh, yeah. We're having a ball up there. And, you know, I love that they have us on the radio to push selling tickets when we're almost sold out. People are coming back two and three times.
Well, what makes you think that you're here to push selling tickets?
Oh, that's where we're always selling tickets. That hasn't changed.
When did the idea for a musical version of it first start?
About 3 years ago, there was a little theater in Kansas City, and Peter Billingsley got involved with it. He was the original Ralphie in the movie and is the producer of the play now. And Marvin, there was probably talk even before that.
Yeah, it was actually about 9 years ago, it was actually brought to my attention. And
did you think it was a good idea?
I thought it was a good idea, but we had a lot of thoughts as to maintaining the integrity of who Gene was, and we needed to really hear Gene's voice constantly. And it started about nine years ago. It took us a while to get started, and then we started the road from Kansas City to Seattle to four cities and Broadway.
Yeah, Chicago and then here.
Well, did you have any hesitation? Movie adaptations haven't always been successful on Broadway, either commercially or artistically. I remember Carrie, Ghost, there have been a few others.
Vampire.
Did you see it as a risk?
I didn't. I didn't because I thought that the people were passionate enough and respectful of Gene Shepherd, and the idea of being respectful, I knew the piece would be something that we could be proud of.
The tone of the reviews was largely, we all liked it despite ourselves. In The Times, Christopher Isherwood started out by protesting, I wouldn't exactly consider myself a soft touch when it comes to sentimental stories set during the Christmas season. And then he goes on to give it an unqualified rave. There is always that fear that people have that, oh, this is going to be kind of a little too sentimental.
It's not very sentimental at all. It's so politically incorrect. It's perfect for the, you know, it's supposed to take place in 1940. I mean, the father even offers the kid, you want a sip of wine? The kid goes, yep. And the father goes, and the mother goes, nope. You know, and the mother has to stop him. But
and how much of that is directly from Gene Shepherd? Because I remember he could be a real curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Gene had those days, but I think it was all Gene's thought process, and I think it was just embraced. I think the whole concept was embraced, no matter what was done.
It also fitted a musical format better than some of the other movies they tried to make into musical plays because of the fantasy sequences. The fantasies in a movie just led to musical numbers, you know.
Well, he used to just ad-lib the stories on his radio shows. Is that how this thing
I'm sure he had notes. I spoke
but he would
to
tell
Gene
the same
a
story
that,
a number of
that,
times and I remember he would change them.
Gene used to sit down for every show and he used to have bullet points that he would want to hit on. And I actually learned that from him. And he would tell the story based on the parameters that he had laid out. Did he ad-lib? Well, sure he ad-libbed. But he knew where he was going and he knew where he had to end. So I think that he had a good idea of structure before he got on the air.
Dan, did playing Vince Lombardi prepare you in any way for the show?
Apples and oranges.
Well, Vince, is he the one who said when the going gets tough, the tough get going? Because it must be pretty tough to share a stage with two performing dogs and a gang of adorable kids.
Well, I have to tell you, walking in on this play, I've never been in a play where I'm the least talented person there. I don't sing. I don't dance. And we have a kid, right? Luke Spring. He's a dancing prodigy. He's 9 years old. He got a standing ovation in the middle of the play the other night. So and Johnny Rabe, our lead, you know, these kids are so talented, you know. And it for me, it's just the opposite. I've listened to a lot of Gene Shepherd. But I cannot do the voice or the cadence he did when he read the stories. It would slow down the pace of the musical. Whereas with Lombardi, I had all that footage and all of the recordings, and his intensity was captured in his voice. So I could actually do the Lombardi voice. So here I have to do a modification of it.
Because in both cases, you're playing people who people remember. The audiences.
People remember Gene Shepherd's voice.
Yeah. Yeah,
but whereas Lombardi, they remember everything about him.
Did all of the actors check out the movie first?
I don't know if they had to, but they all did. We've all seen it.
They all were very passionate about the movie. That was the one thing I saw right throughout, that everybody knew, including the kids.
Yeah,
and I found that to be very comforting before they got on stage, and how they kind of knew about the flagpole, and they knew about the leg lamp, and they knew about everything. They grew up with it.
You own that lamp?
I have. You know, that's a funny story. I have. Gene gave me the lamp, and for many years I thought the lamp I had was the lamp in A Christmas Story. It turned out the lamp I had was the lamp in a film called Phantom of the Open Hearth. Phantom of the Open Hearth talks about Ralphie at an older age.
Right.
Talks about the old man getting the gift, the award, and in the award is that lamp. That lamp I have. So I have the original one.
You have the original.
I have the original. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Now, you were friends. When did you meet? In Chicago?
No, we became very friendly when he started in Fort Lauderdale. He was in Fort Lauderdale, and then he moved to Sanibel Island.
Uh-huh. So, but he, all of his stories took place in Chicago.
Well, that's where, I mean, Cleveland, where he...
Oh, was it Cleveland?
Right. And that's where he had grown up.
I seem to remember him talking about being a Cubs fan.
Oh, he was the voice of the Chicago White Sox.
Was he the same person in life that he seemed to be in his stories?
Good question. I would say no. I think he was more of a regular guy. He was very proud. He was a professional. He really took pride in everything he did, but... all he wanted to talk about was dogs and sports and what book did you read? And he was far from the character or the way he wrote his books and his articles. But he was just a great guy to hang out with.
Well, a lot of people invent their persona for the air, and his was kind of. I guess he wanted to puncture all of the myths of society. And then again, he just was perhaps the most brilliant storyteller that we've ever had on radio. As a kid, I remember just having to listen every time he was on the air and repeating a lot of those stories, including the famous story of the time that he went on a blind date and was really... uptight about it because, you know, blind dates, she was going to be a dog, and it turned out he was the dog.
Right.
And the mail call and the service. I remember my father listening to that and going into World War II stories, you know.
So there you are in a play that's based on a much-loved movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any pressure on you when that sort of thing happens.
No, you know, they told me I'd be sitting in a radio booth reading this. And then when I showed up, John Rando, our director who directed Urinetown, great director, he said, no, you'll be off book and running through the scenes and keeping the play moving.
Because in the movie, it's just a voiceover.
Right. So,
Obviously, being a voiceover wouldn't have been the same thing here.
Not the way it's directed now, but in Chicago they actually had the actor who did the narration sitting in a corner that looked like a radio booth.
That's
and he
right.
never left. And
That's
he actually
right.
read.
Is this your first musical?
Yes, probably my last. I have the word. You see, you think I'm kidding. I have the word. I don't even sound good in the shower.
That's well, you terrible. Don't. You don't sing, but you you speak in time with some of the songs. It's like speaking.
Yeah,
song
when they
words.
Say, "Can you get that line out on an eight count?" I say, "Count slower." You know, I don't. The kids give me signals well on musical beats. You know?
Dan Lauria is brilliant in the show.
Oh, not compared
Bottom
to the kids. The kids are one of them. And then, of course, we have John Bolton and Aaron
Now, John
Deli.
Bolton is not the same John Bolton who was the Bush administration's U.N. ambassador.
No. He was John Bolton in Titanic and some of the other great movies.
And he plays Ralphie's occasionally foul-mouthed dad. He does this wonderful string of almost curse words.
Yeah.
Does he ever make a mistake?
Yeah, about four nights ago, he slipped.
Really? I did not hear that.
No, but John's very good. And he has to rehearse those. He doesn't just ad-lib that because you'll make a lot of mistakes if you do it. So he has it down, and he's very consistent. But one night, one of the words came out more realistic, let's put it that way. It was a big, did he say it?
Now, you had to adjust the publicity material because of what happened in Newtown, didn't you?
Well, I've adjusted some of, like in my opening monologue, the original line was, I take you back to another Christmas and another time and another place and a gun. And I take you back to the exotic city of home in Indiana. Well, I just leave out and the gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're sensitive to it. You cannot be, you know. But on the other hand, with the tragedy and the gloom and the, you know, just everybody has the blues now. And they come into our theater and there's, especially the young kids, they're not quite as aware of how terrible this tragedy is. They're lightened up. They see they laugh. The parents start laughing. So it's... we need a laugh right now. You know?
Well, there are some things in here that are very unpolitically correct, like the scene in the Chinese restaurant. So
gets an applause every night.
Kids like it?
The kids like it, and the parents, and it gets an applause. And you know the old adage, never cut funny.
Did your agent try to warn you about the kids and those dogs? Haven't you heard that you should never work with children or animals?
You're talking to the dad on the Wonder Years. I've always been working with kids. It's paid off for me.
Who manages the dogs? They're big and blustery.
Oh, Bill. What's Bill's
Bill,
last name?
I forgot his last name.
But he does all the animals for Broadway.
Yes.
And most of the movies shot here.
Now, what happens with the kids? Does the same actor play Ralphie the whole week, or do they split
He does six shows a week, and that's Johnny Rabe, and Joe West does at least two. Now, last week we had nine shows, so Joe West did three.
And then you had Luke Spring. I wasn't
He's
sure whether he was a real kid or a machine. He's so incredible.
It's like I said
we
before.
We almost brought him here to do his tap routine.
I know. He could have done it on the table. He got a standing ovation. I've never seen that in the middle of a play.
The place explodes every night.
Do you have to deal with stage mothers?
The mothers on this show have been...
I heard good.
Yeah, exceptionally good. But for most of them, this is the first time. Like Luke, he's never seen a Broadway show.
Now,
he's from West Virginia.
Did you imagine this is just something for the holiday season? Because the show runs only until December 30th.
Yeah, but now it'll be published, and I have a feeling next year it'll be done in every major city, don't you?
Well, I think that holiday shows are very tricky, and I think our producers and the people involved really have their ear to the road exactly where we need to go. But they are tricky, and I think that Dan is right. I think we'll see it in a lot of different places for next year.
And we should point out that the book is by Joseph Robinette. He didn't work on the film.
No.
And the music and lyrics are by Benj Pasek and Justin Paul.
Right.
Were they brought in pretty early?
They were actually brought in at Seattle. We did not have them in Kansas City. And they came in, Seattle, two 27-year-olds that actually began writing the music as a commitment to each other while they were in college.
And University of Michigan.
At the University of Michigan,
we have so many people from the University of Michigan. It must be the best musical school in the country.
They're brilliant songwriters. Brilliant.
Are the kids all over the dogs?
Not allowed to. None of us are allowed to touch the dogs. Only John Bolton, because he has to do the bits with them, and the one stage manager, Jen. And then we and that's true, and I found that true in movies and in TV. Whenever you have animals, the trainers only want the actor that actually physically touches the dog to stay around, because there'll be too many distractions.
Well, the dogs do seem almost wild on the stage.
Yeah.
So you never know what they're going to do?
Excuse me?
You never know what they're going to do.
Yeah, well,
they've had their nights.
They've had their nights. The one dog won't chase a turkey anymore because he got hit with a flat.
Well, John stepped on his paw.
Yeah.
That was John stepped on his paw, so the dog's
I thought that was just ad-lib.
Bent out of shape.
Anyway, let me go through this whole thing one more time. Joseph Robinette wrote the book. Benj Pasek and Justin Paul wrote the music and lyrics. John Rando is the director, and the cast includes Dan Lauria, who's been my guest, John Bolton, Johnny Rabe, Zach Ballard, Aaron Dilley. It is at the Lunt-Fontanne Theater. That's
West 46th.
And my great thanks to Dan Lauria and also to Erwin Zwilling, who is the man who handles the Gene Shepherd estate. What does that mean?
Gene Shepherd, the rights, the intellectual property rights.
So is there going to be anything made from iLibertine somewhere down the line?
That one hasn't been – I haven't been approached for that yet.
Make an interesting movie. Thank you both so much for being on our
show. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.